Everyone. Kind of a new format this evening that we're starting on. So I'm the trailblazer to set the for getting the time right here. We got to stick within the schedule, so I will do my best to do that. And while I'm getting my notes together here, I'll just get you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Leviticus chapter 23. For the sake of time, I won't get you to turn to all the scripture references necessarily, but we'll start with reading in Leviticus chapter 23. I have my scripture references printed out. My Bible is here, so it is from the Bible, so just so you know. And I'll be reading from my notes just because it's a little faster. All right, so this evening we're going to be looking at the Feast of First Fruits and living in resurrection power. This is came across this in a devotion that I was reading, and it intrigued me to look into it a little bit further, and I really enjoyed the thoughts of this feast and how it relates to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Very practical lessons for us to learn from this little lesson and from this feast that we can take away this evening. So let's start with reading in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 9 to 14. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, When you come into the land which I give to you and reap its harvest, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. He shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted on your behalf. On the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. And when you offer on that day, you will wave the sheaf, a male lamb of the first year without blemish as a burnt offering to the Lord. Its grain offering shall be 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil, an offering made by fire to the Lord for a sweet aroma, and its drink offering shall be of wine 1/4 of a hin. You shall eat neither bread nor parched grain nor fresh grain until the same day that you have brought an offering to your God. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings." I'm also going to be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 to 23. I'm just going to keep motoring along here. "Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are also found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom we did not raise up, if, in fact, the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are in Christ at his coming." And finally, I'm just going to read a short passage from the book of James, chapter 1, verses 16 to 18. "Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." So that sets the stage for what we're going to be talking about tonight in this Feast of the First Fruits. And so this is a very powerful feast that is often overlooked. Many people talk about Pentecost or Passover. They're familiar ones to us, but First Fruits isn't one that we hear a lot about. And it's a celebration of the first harvest, when the Israelites would bring the first sheaf of grain from the land of God that God had promised them and wave it before him in worship. That was kind of the initial idea of it. And it wasn't just meant to be a farming ritual. It had deep prophetic meaning, and speaking, pointing forward to Jesus' resurrection, and even more importantly, to the victory and the life that we're called to live because he arose and the victory we have in him. So we're going to have a look at that a little bit this evening and think of it practically speaking and how it points to today when we're living in the already but not quite yet stage of life. And so like the Israelites, we've been redeemed through the blood of the Lord Jesus, but we're still on our journey towards full inheritance. We haven't quite gotten it all yet, but we're on our journey towards that. We've crossed over from sin, but the fullness of what God has for us still lies ahead for us to take advantage of. So I'm going to ask a question for us all to consider, and we can think about it while we're going through this. Are you and am I living in the promise of the resurrection today? And are we living in the power of Christ's first fruits? Or are we still wandering in the wilderness, waiting for things to happen? So we're just going to go through this point by point. I'm going to start with just talking about the promise of the possession. In Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 1, God says, and we also spoke of this in the first part of Leviticus chapter 23 that we read about, when you come into the land which the Lord your God has given you and possess it and dwell in it. So the idea here is that the Feast of First Fruits could only be kept and was only intended to be kept when the Israelites went into the Promised Land, when they actually got there. It wasn't meant to be done in the wilderness. It was for when they got into the Promised Land. And it was a feast claiming about what God had promised them. And it wasn't just to be handed them. They had to possess the land. That's the idea here. They had to take it over. They had to fight battles. They had to push through resistance and struggles and trust in God's faithfulness. And that was the idea here for them to possess that land. And in the same way, as it relates to us today, we have struggles. You know, while we're waiting for that promised inheritance that we have struggles. We have things that we go through. And while we've been promised every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, as it says in Ephesians chapter 1, how many of us are truly living in those blessings day to day? How many of us really claim those promises and the blessings that we have in Christ? Or how many of us are still wandering around aimlessly in our Christian life, not fulfilling what God has for us and what he's purchased for us through the work of his Son, the Lord Jesus? So there's a call to action for us. First of all, to claim our inheritance, our spiritual inheritance, what is ours, and live those out and walk in victory. To step out of Egypt, step out of sin, not settling for the wilderness, but for living for what God has promised us in abundance. And so if we look at the next part of this lesson here, we're thinking about the worship and fruitfulness of putting God first. In Leviticus chapter 23, verse 14, it talks about this idea of bringing the best before the Lord. And so, let me get my notes here. We're talking about the sheaf and the first fruits of resurrection. So the central symbol in the Feast of First Fruits is the sheaf. And in 1 Corinthians 15:20, as we read, now Christ is risen from the dead, has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. And this idea, the sheaf, or this bundle of grain or barley that they would bring and wave before the Lord, it was the first, the best of the land that they had given, the very first portion. And it was a promise of more to come. It was meant as a guarantee that the full harvest was coming. And they were to give the first part in thanksgiving to God. And Christ's resurrection is also the first fruits. He is the first, the beginning of the new creation, the victory over sin and death that we have in him. And the beauty here is Christ's resurrection didn't just signal that he was alive again. Now, that's a great thing, but it's the first fruits of our resurrection even. He's the first fruits of the resurrected, those who will go before him. And just as the sheaf was waved before God, like a child waves a toy in front of his parents to show them, hey, look at this. That's the same idea that the sheaf offering is being waved and Christ is being waved before the Father as the perfect first fruits in before we go going ahead of us to show that we're accepted in him. And he's representing us now before the Father, just like the sheaf was waved before by the priest before God. And because he is accepted, amazingly, we are accepted, which is an incredible thought. He's already gone ahead of us as the first fruits of the initial resurrection, and he's made a way for us to follow. And so the reality is which we often forget, is that if Jesus rose, we will rise. And that is an amazing truth and a great comfort for us. So let's continue on. Now, the other idea about in the first fruits is that this lesson of putting God first. So it says, you shall, in verse 14, again, of chapter 23, you shall not eat of the new grain until you have brought the offering of your God. And so, the Feast of the First Fruits taught to the Israelites that God must receive his portion first before they could enjoy the harvest. He was intended to have his portion first. And that's a principle that runs throughout all of Scripture, throughout the entire Bible, that God must come first. And the lesson for us today in that is that is to ask ourselves the question, are we giving God the first of our lives? I mean, that's a pretty introspective question that we have to ask. Are we offering, or are we offering him our leftovers? What's left of our day? I mean, that is a very difficult, challenging question for us to consider. And it's easy to give God what's convenient or what's comfortable. It's not a problem for us, but he deserves our best. And that was what he's asking for in the Feast of the First Fruits, to give, and they were to give the very best of the harvest, the top crop. And all throughout all the feasts, you see the best being given. And so we have to give him the best of our time, our attention, our energy, our worship. And this feast calls us back to prioritize that idea of worship, of just like the Israelites could not eat the grain before offering it to God, we can't enjoy the blessings of life without first acknowledging that everything that we have comes from God. It's a gift from him. And we have to bring him our best worship, our best service, our best of all things that we have should be given to God. Best offerings, we owe it to him. Not out of gratitude, not because we owe him, but out of a debt of gratitude for all that he has done for us. Why wouldn't we want to give God the best because of all he's done for us? And so we live in that resurrection power. And with that in mind, we should live a resurrected life, one that is changed, one that is different, one that is fruitful, that gives worship to God. Next point about this that I want to talk about is the guarantee of our inheritance. And it talks about that in a little bit in Ephesians chapter 1, 13 and 14, and in Romans chapter 8 as well, which we're not going to look at fully. We'll just touch on those things. But the Feast of First Fruits is not just about the past or even the present, but it's a declaration of what is to come. It's something we have to look forward to. And the first sheaf guaranteed the rest of the harvest. It sort of started the beginning of the rest of the harvest. And in the same way, Christ is a representation as the first thief. So his resurrection is the guarantee of our own future resurrection, as we've talked about. And so the Holy Spirit, who was given at Pentecost, is the first fruits of the Spirit, as it says in Ephesians chapter 1:14. And he is the down payment of our inheritance. And so he's the first fruits in us, transforming us and guaranteeing that one day we'll be glorified just like Jesus. And that's a really tremendous comfort. And so because we live in the already but not yet, we have the first fruits of the Holy Spirit, the promise of resurrection, but the harvest is still to come. We still have something to look forward to. We're waiting for the day when we'll be like him, we'll be glorified, will be incorruptible, eternal, just like he will be. That's something really to look forward to and to take comfort in for those who have loved ones that have gone on before us, that we will see them again, and they've gone on to much better things. And that, what a great hope that is for us to consider and think about. The reality is that we're not just saved from something, we're saved for something. And that is really something to consider, isn't it? That we have a purpose. God has saved us for a purpose, and there's more for us to do. And in the meantime, while we're here, we should be living in the resurrection power of Christ. I mean, that is a tremendously impactful thing to consider, that, you know, all that Christ has done for us and all that he has gone on before us to do, we have that power living within us. And so the question for us, when we think about the Feast of the First Fruits and what it represents, that Christ has gone on before us, he is our inheritance, he is our guarantee and our promise, and he is the first fruits of all of these things, the beginning of all these things, And the question that we, and I'm asking myself some days when I consider this, is like, are we just living saved and that's it? Or are we living in our inheritance? We have an inheritance now. I mean, we have an inheritance to look forward to, but there is an inheritance that we have now. There are blessings and promises that are now. And so are we living in that reality? And that is something to ask ourselves. Are we giving God our first fruits, or are we just giving him our leftovers in the meantime? Are we giving God the best of what we have? Are we living like Christ is alive, or that he's still in the tomb? I mean, that reality should change our lives on a day-to-day basis. So the feast of the first fruits is not just an Old Testament shadow, it's our resurrection reality, something for us to really grab onto, and it should change the way we live. And because he rose, we will rise too. So the challenge is for us to step into the promises, claim them, and live like that resurrection is real and that it has an impact on our lives so that others around us will see. So we could be a testimony to the world around us of a changed life because of the risen Lord Jesus. That is the victory that we have in him. So let's live in the power of his resurrection. Let's walk in the fullness of our inheritance and worship him with everything that we have. The first fruits have already been offered, and the harvest is coming. And let's live like people who know that the best is yet to come. And I'm just going to close with a passage in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 5, to kind of put a mark of emphasis on that point. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Anyway, that was there's a lot to dig into in that, but for a little short devotional on that topic, I think that I learned a lot from this, and I would encourage you to look into it a little further yourself if you like. But the Feast of First Fruits, let's think about it as we celebrate Easter and think about the Lord Jesus as the first fruits of the resurrection and all that we have because of him. Thank you.